Happy anniversary.
Amen.
Every good party needs to have its fullness. And as the balloons begin to sag, we know we're coming toward the end.
Hey, my Lord.
It's okay. Last Sunday, First Baptist Church of Fremont celebrated their 150th, a great season for Nebraska Baptists, but it makes you try to picture what that was like then, what the struggles were, and you wonder what those people would think if they had watched all of this. Talk about beyond your comprehension. But those were immigrant people, and they probably would understand maybe better than we do the meaning of those last two songs about the journey coming through the difficult times. I've been aware of the ministry of this church since my days as a young person, a kid at Camp Merrill in Fullerton in those days, Nebraska, and I had friends from this church. I think during my teenage years when I was working in statewide Baptist Youth Fellowship stuff, Reverend Slycue was here, and he was a big deal in ABC of Nebraska. And then I lived in seven different states, and I came back and served 10 years as the exec for ABC of Nebraska. And this was a church I came to love dearly, and still do. And when Dr. Spitzer moved to New Jersey, was called to New Jersey, Don Gaines and I shared the pulpit here for several months. I don't remember exactly how long, and that was a special time for me. But it was this monster pulpit that went out all over the place. I think this is a little nicer. I like this better. When you stood up behind all of that, you didn't think you had enough to say. 150 years is a long time, and not one person in this room knows whether that was the whole First Baptist Church story, or just the beginning, or the middle. We don't know. I'm really grateful this church did something that I often describe by an act of a woman in hospice. Many of you know Reverend Bob Mulby, retired Baptist clergyman in Nebraska. And when his first wife was a nice church lady, just a nice church lady, not intellectual, but she did like to know what was going on in the church. And she was dying, and she was in hospice, and everybody would come by and just say sweet words to her. Oh, you've been low, you know. Pretty soon, she got irritated. I had never seen Fayetta irritated before. She sat up and she said, "I am alive, and I am going to be alive until I die." Yeah, that's right. And she meant, tell me what's going on at church.
That's all right.
We don't know when the end is.
That's right.
I think it was 2 years ago now that my cardiologist said, you probably have five. Then they cut me open and spread the ribs and worked on the heart. And now I have three cardiologists, and none of them agree on how long I have. So my plan is to live until I die.
Amen.
And I recommend that for people and for churches. Some people in this room remember when a primarily European-American crowd had a big choir up here. and you wonder where that end is. Don't be deceived. Others of you get nostalgic about a particular pastor or a particular program. And some of you are new to this place and are wondering what the future is all about. I encourage you not to be depressed by doubt or fear. God has always sought to be the author of your story. Let God direct the next chapter. I was looking through my files, which aren't always this organized, but I did find something. I said here 14 years ago this month. I was here and I read Psalm 124 about God's people escaping traps. Now, this is not perhaps an expected text for a 150th anniversary, but bear with me. Psalm 124. What if the Lord had not been on our side? Answer, O Israel. If the Lord had not been on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us alive in their furious anger against us. Then the flood would have carried us away. The water would have covered us. The raging torrent would have drowned us. Let us thank the Lord who has not let our enemies destroy us. We have escaped like a bird from a hunter's trap. The trap is broken and we are free. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. On that day, 14 years ago, when I shared this psalm, I paraphrased it. Part of that paraphrase went this way. If the Lord had not been on our side, let First Baptist say, if the Lord had not been on our side when doubt attacked us, it could have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord for not letting us be devoured by negative thinking. Amen. We have escaped that trap. We are free to fly. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And this has been true for First Baptist Church for 150 years. Amen. Today, in 2019, there is a lot of distress and confusion in churches in America, whether those churches appear to be successful or seem to be dying. Having the label Christian doesn't really tell people anything about who you really are. So many people wear that label differently. I believe our call in these tough times is to deeply internalize and radiate the joy of the Lord. It is the joy of the Lord that has been and is your strength, First Baptist. Too many people in our society have encountered Christians who are negative, harsh, judgmental, or depressed, sad, and anxious about congregational survival, or even vague and unsure about anything. I was reading a book recently by a columnist for the New York Times. And he said, this will amaze you, he said, it's in the Beatitudes. In Matthew 5, you've read the book, I can tell. It's the Beatitudes in Matthew 5 where we find the ultimate roadmap for our lives. Yes. Follow Jesus. Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are even persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. That's the message from Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Follow Jesus. Amen. Care for the poor in spirit. Care for those who mourn. Listen to the meek. That's been haunting me just lately. How often do we listen to the meek? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Be merciful. Be pure in heart. Be peacemakers. Don't get bent out of joint when people oppose you or are of a different political party or think differently about the next steps the church should take. The Beatitudes wrap it up. Rejoice and be glad. It doesn't mean deny reality. It all talks about caring for people who are mourning. It's all of that. But in that, because we're people of the Word, because we've been moved and changed by Jesus Christ, rejoice and be glad. And when you radiate that, people are attracted to the message and what you have to share. Being followers of Jesus gives us the strength to deal with the difficult challenges of life and yet be people of joy. Love and joy. I think Harry talked about love last night. People were telling me about that. Love and joy. All the positive parts of your story, First Baptist, and all your partner congregations came about by you letting God work through you. God has done it all, and since that is what God is like, God will continue to act like that again and again and again. Yes. God is the creator. He's also the recreator, recreating, renewing, restoring, resurrecting again, if we listen and respond. That psalm that I read calls us to openness and courage. There's so very much evidence in your life and in the life of this congregation that God is at work. Amen. Be assured that God will continue to be with you in good times and bad. You don't have to be afraid. The joy of the Lord is your strength. God loves you beyond your wildest imagining. Praise God.